Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Your name is Charlotte.
Yes.
You're very welcome, Charlotte.
I am here with Emily.
You're here with Emily.
You're here with Emily.
Oh, bless you both.
Bless you both.
I find this very strange.
Do you, dear? I expect you do.
We're very glad.
We're so glad. Is this Charlotte still?
Yes.
Yes, dear.
I pray that you will forgive me.
Oh.
I am not very sure of my being able to come and speak at any length to you. It is many, many, many years since I was on your side of life.
Yes, right.
And my dear sister also
finds
some difficulty in manifesting in this fashion.
Yes.
I am somewhat perplexed.
Yes, dear. You speak very clearly. You are very good.
I do not know if I speak very well or not.
You do.
It is almost impossible for me, or perhaps anyone who endeavors to talk from this side, to be very sure as to whether they are manifesting clearly or distinctly. I am conscious of your thoughts more than I am of the sun.
I see.
I think this
we're following you, though.
It's something which applies to all of us.
Yes.
We are in tune mentally,
yes,
oftentimes with
yes
peoples.
Yes.
I have been to you on occasions, but have never spoken to you.
No.
When you write.
Oh, yes. I'm so grateful.
How long ago it is since we were on your side.
Yes, yes.
And how things have changed.
Yes, my dear.
So much is unrecognizable.
Oh, yes, that is true.
The parsonage.
The parsonage, yes.
Yes.
I have met so many souls.
Have you?
That I had not the joy of meeting when on your side of life.
No.
I have such great affection and regard for Jane Austen.
Oh,
oh
yes,
yes.
Whom
oh,
I have
too
met here.
Oh, yes. How lovely, yes.
And I am very concerned that I should perhaps still be able, in some measure,
yes,
to write and impress others,
yes,
on your side of life.
Yes, I see.
Many thoughts that are penned in your world.
Yes.
Though the author may well take the credit.
Yes.
And justifiably so.
Yes.
Oft time receives from us,
yes,
inspiration.
I'm sure.
We do not cease to work for the good of others.
No, no.
Humanity draws us very close
I'm
to
sure
earth.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And when we see, as we do see so often, the tragedies of life,
yeah,
whether they be in a collective sense or national sense, or whether they be in an individual life,
yes, yes,
we feel the need and the urgency to assist if
yes
possible.
Yes.
Not that oft times we can do very much, but we love to come,
yes,
to help and uplift, to guide, to comfort, yes, though we may stand in the background,
yes,
and say nothing, so it seems,
mm-hmm,
yet our influence is brought to bear where possible here and there.
A wonderful thought.
I have been to your
meeting
and have watched with great interest, and hope, as indeed do many another soul here, that we might be enabled to come and converse at some future time. Many a soul stands unobtrusively, quietly in the background. It is as almost like as if we were in the wings, waiting for the curtain to rise.
Beautiful idea.
To make our entrance.
Yes.
When you come here, at times souls are able, for a brief moment of time, converse with you and to show their interest in your endeavors, to give you upliftment and encouragement, to give you the realization that even though there may be times when little or nothing is happening, or so it seems, much is being done.
We do accept that, you know.
Some of us, of course, might almost be likened unto the scene shifters who are never seen, but are very important in the production. And we do our little part. That the whole might be of great joy to the beholder.
We're so grateful to everyone.
Of course, it is obvious to you, with your knowledge of these things, that there are times when important members of the company, for some reason or other, are unable to appear.
Yes.
And sometimes someone less known, or less important perhaps in your eyes, must take the floor.
Yes, yes.
But each one works in love and in harmony. We are a company, and we are each one serving according to our light.
Oh, it's marvelous. We're so
blessed. How blessed you two are.
We do feel it. We are grateful every day, Charlotte.
Apart from your near and dearest, your family, and your very closer, intimate friends, innumerable souls are drawn by the light and the beauty of your group. Because we know of your sincerity of mind and of purpose, because your desires are such that you wish to help innumerable peoples out of the darkness into the light that you have found. And therefore many come, because we come in an unselfish way to serve, as you endeavor to serve. Caruso, who you have such a great affection and admiration for, is oft times around you.
How lovely.
And with him, of course, are many great singers of renown.
Yes.
Many are they who come, who are but names, and yet by the record of their lives, you have been drawn to them in affection, in admiration for their abilities and talents, and for that which they achieved oft times against great odds.
Yes. And
it is natural that you should expect those who have played a part in your earthly existence. But how much more important in a sense it is, if people did but realize there are many souls in this world whom you know not of, who played and do continue to play in the lives of many peoples on earth a spiritual role, a spiritual part. It has been said in the good book that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And many are they who have angelic souls, beings of high order, who, when on earth themselves, perhaps were famous in their own field of activity, and who on this side continue to strive and to serve,
yes,
and to perfect their art, yes, and who are drawn back and desire to come to help some soul in their effort, mm-hmm, in their desire to achieve, yes, some development of their natural ability or talent. And they are given instructions and guidance. Sometimes without their knowledge, yes, they are helped, often in perhaps their sleep state when they are relieved,
yes,
from the material worries,
yes,
and conditions of earth. And they're able to leave the physical body temporarily,
yes,
enter into the spheres of the spiritual realms,
yes,
and receive instruction and guidance and assistance. And they're sent back and awakened into the earthly existence on the following morn,
mm-hmm,
in the subconscious mind of the physical body,
yes,
are retained some of these memories, which are drawn out sometimes at critical moments,
yes,
when they are most needed, often when a person perhaps is fully unconscious or unaware,
yes,
yet in that moment of inspiration, as it is called,
yes,
comes forth this something that has been handed to them or,
yes,
given to them in so-called sleep state.
No,
and it comes out inspirationally. We never cease to stop helping, whether it is in our own life and condition on this side or on yours. We are sometimes, in a sense, living in two worlds,
yes,
at the same time,
yes, very much,
partaking of your world in some measure,
yes,
for its good,
yes,
and of our own environment and condition, learning more and more and trying to pass it on,
yes,
to you.
So
many of the great peoples of your life, your world, great in their particular field of artistic endeavor, particularly so, are receiving guidance and instruction and help.
Yes.
On a moment, perhaps, of decision, where perhaps their whole lives can be changed,
yes,
or the course thereof,
yes,
they are impressed as to which path they should take.
Yes.
And oft times, when a person is down and depressed, when perhaps they feel loneliness,
yes,
has descended upon them and there is nowhere to turn, we are there to comfort them and impress them at the given moment as to what they should do.
Yes.
And then, like a ray of light,
yes,
they perceive and they are aware,
yes,
and they take up the fight again,
yes,
in the material world, and battling, as they oftentimes do, against great difficulty,
yes,
overcome, where there is the realization within the human heart of these things, where there is faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible. All things are changeable if those who are endeavoring strive sufficiently hard to remove the obstacles that oftentimes stand in the pathway. I know that oftentimes in my earthly existence there were days which seemed dark and drear.
Yes.
And one would look out into the world,
yes,
and see the darkness.
Yes.
And one would be conscious of the needs of the many,
yes,
whose lives were being spoiled.
Yes.
Sometimes by their own foolishness and waywardness. Sometimes by the pressures of those in higher places who depressed and subjugated many, who, because they had none of the worldly goods or talents, were made to do the most mundane things and had little support from any quarter. I remember so well so many of those peoples whose lives were so dull and,
yes,
dreary,
yes,
who had no benefactors,
yes,
who had nowhere to turn and who in sickness had no medical attention, no help. Mm-hmm. No one today in your world possibly can realize the poverty that existed in my time.
No, no, my dear.
The world in some respects has changed for the better. At least there is not the dire poverty and the needs that were so many in my time.
No.
Many have been helped, and you do have in some respects a better way of life. At least those whose poverty was so dire at least do not now starve.
No.
But there are other issues that concern us and worry us and depress us.
I'm sure.
And we try desperately to help.
Yes.
The affluent society,
yes,
as it is called,
yes,
in some respects may well be, but there are still many whose needs are great.
Yes.
I still continue to write.
Do you?
Yes. And there are books as yet unpublished.
Yes.
And one wonders if they will ever be published.
Yes.
Perhaps not in the material world.
No.
But the greatest books live on.
Yes.
The works that are genuine works of art.
Yes.
Do not die.
No, indeed.
Whether it is in this or that field, whether it is in music or in song or in writing or in the gift, whatever it may be that is of the soul or the spirits, this is indestructible.
Yes, of course.
Much is written, much is done, which is a little consequence, of course.
Yes.
And yet oft times those who, perhaps because of circumstances beyond their control, have to do the hacking work, yet nevertheless they give pleasure, and they give to some encouragement and enlightenment and upliftment, and take them away from the depressions around and about them temporarily. But even there are talents, greater talents, oftentimes untouched, which can be brought out and used.
Yes.
Everyone serves according to his light.
Oh, yes.
The humanity that we seek to reach in enlightenment and truth, encouragement and upliftment, may find it in various ways.
Yes.
And they do receive quite often in the medicine, they receive a cure for their sickness.
Yes.
Sometimes the medicine may not taste too good.
No,
but it has a curative power.
Yes.
And sometimes that which is given in your world, which is accepted without question, which sometimes is taken to the heart and perhaps not to the head, serves its purpose.
Yes.
We must see all humanity and all life and all works and all endeavors in their true perspective, and try to see that those who are struggling and perhaps in a sense have not reached the uppermost rung of the ladder, that nevertheless they have on the way up to whatever rung they may have reached, they have in some measure not only learnt of themselves but have served in consequence.
Yes.
Of course, we know there are many who, as the world sees it, reach the topmost rung.
Yes.
But it is not a very safe ladder.
No.
And is inclined to topple.
Yes.
And they are thrust from the top to the bottom. But he who climbs diligently and sincerely and will, who takes firmly in his grasp the opportunities that are presented, and clings firmly to the ladder of spiritual progression, has no need of fear.
No.
For each rung is a rung that has been built and made by endeavor of sincerity and purpose for good, and will never loosen. And each rung is a rung that others may climb by, that you have less firmly implanted in this ladder of spiritual progression. You are progressing slowly but surely to the heights.
Good.
And your endeavors are not wasted. Indeed, the ladder that you have built between the two worlds is a ladder of great strength that others will truly, surely follow. There will come a time, my dear, when you will write a book, and you will be inspired by many souls working in cooperation and harmony and in love together, that you shall be able to do this work. It will be a lasting work, and will be to some almost like unto a textbook of the Spirit. This is something which perhaps in an odd way you have put off.
Yes.
Perhaps you have felt it was not yet the time.
That has been so.
But the time is not far distant.
I see.
When you will feel compelled to do this.
I see. Yes.
It will be a book that will appeal to all men, irrespective of class or color or creed. It will be a book that many shall read, and many shall be comforted, and many in consequence shall be enlightened, and shall be given the incentive also to seek that they may find.
That's it.
We shall come with you
on
this voyage.
Oh, undoubtedly.
You know, I do not think it is possible for anyone in your world to conceive the numbers of souls that gather oft times around the peoples of the earth, and peoples that we love and hold in great regard. Oft times we visit them,
and
sometimes even when they go from place to place, when you are up in the sky, an unheard of thing in my day,
of course.
We are there.
Yes.
We take up no room.
No.
And we have no fares that we have to pay for. And I oftentimes wonder with some amusement how little do they know, the peoples of the earth, of our nearness. And if they did, how perhaps differently they might act and think
oftentimes.
But we too have lived in your world.
Yes.
We too know of its problems and its temptations. We too made our mistakes and did things which we had cause to regret at a later time.
Everyone.
So no one need fear or to think, as some may well do, that it is a form of embarrassment to realize that people long dead watch over one. We have a sense of humor too.
Yes, I'm sure.
And though we may not always be able to influence or indeed alter the course of events or stop a person from doing something that we know full well will lead to some minor or perhaps even major disaster, we can only try to help, but we cannot always succeed.
No, dear.
But we do know and we do understand the frailties of human life.
I'm sure.
And in the books that one may write well of these things, the frailties, and the qualities of good, and the possibilities that lie even in the worst of individuals.
Yes.
When we write about the many peoples that we have known, we may give them another name or a set of circumstances, or set them in a different environment.
Yes.
but the peoples that we give life to, my dear.
Yes.
They have been and still are peoples in this realm, in this sphere of activity of the spirit, oftentimes perceiving in that which is written themselves. And even if they have not, some made great progress, see in the writings themselves in such a clarity that they are able to think perhaps more about themselves,
yes,
and where their faults may well lie.
Ah, yes. Yes.
And changing consequences.
Yes.
You know, many a person has written a book and created a character which on the surface appears to some fictitious.
Yes.
Though the character may have great reality and roundness, great subtleties and nuances,
yes,
yet even so, many people think of these characters as fiction.
Yes.
But often, because of the love in the drawing of the character by the author or authors, by the ability that they have to draw on human nature and experience, and the people that they have known, they have been able to create a new character,
yes,
with many of the subtleties and the personalities of the past individual. And in consequence, these peoples have a life of their own.
Yes.
Not only are they themselves brought into being by the author's ability to create, but by the subtleties of the realizations of past individuals' lives and experience and aspect of personality and nuance,
yes,
but they're able to create realities,
yes, yes,
which temporarily can have a form of life, which can only move within a certain radius, of course,
yes,
of the author's conception,
yes,
and set of circumstances in, yes, which the character has its being.
Yes.
It is possible here, on certain spheres, for instance, to enter into a phase of existence or state of being where one can visualize and see, in retrospect, I suppose one should say, the acting out of characters created by authors.
Really?
For instance, also let me explain to you that when thousands and thousands and thousands of people read a novel or a book,
yes,
in which a character is of such striking proportions that the character becomes a living reality to,
yes,
the reader,
yes,
they create in a mental way,
yes,
this person,
yes,
and give it a form of life.
I see.
In a limited sense, it,
yes,
is true.
Yes, yes.
It is possible, for instance, to enter into a sphere of activity here and enter into, temporarily, a book.
Yes.
Not in pages,
no,
behind covers,
no,
but in a visual sense.
Really?
For instance, if you would like an example,
yes,
Mr. Pickwick.
Yes, yeah, yes.
And his activities and his,
yes,
adventures,
yes,
and the peoples that were associated with him,
yes,
are visual.
I see.
Here.
Yes.
But in only a limited area of field.
Yes.
But once, for instance, a book ceases to be read,
yes,
and the characters no longer are thought about,
yes,
yes,
because people are not reading about the character or the characters,
yes,
they become deflated, is the only way I can put,
yes,
it.
Yes.
While a character is read and many people, millions of people are stimulating the,
yes,
thought forces,
yes,
about this person or persons,
yes,
then they have a form of activity or life.
Yes.
It's not a spiritual existence or anything,
no,
like,
no,
that.
No, no,
it's merely a mental creative thing,
yes,
which has a form of existence. But when a novel ceases to be popular,
yes,
ceases to have any meaning,
yes,
no one bothers to read, the thought force is so diminished that temporarily those characters become less and less important and cease to have a visual impact. Now, I don't know if this makes sense.
Yes,
it's not possible to depict or describe this accurately, no doubt, but it is true to say that all that is created lives in some shape or form.
Yes.
Everything that is given birth by the power of thought has a life form of its own. It may have no soul.
No.
It may have no spiritual aspect at all, but it can have a visual aspect.
Yes.
You see, if you can remember and realize that thought is creative, if a character is created in a novel or a book and it is in consequence the book is read by millions of people, they are sustaining it, they are giving it life, they are keeping it, as it were, in operation. This is, I think, what a lot of people have no realization of, the power of thought. It has been said that thought, the power of thought, the ability from within oneself can remove obstacles. I think Christ somewhere said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And it is by faith in the power within that you can overcome and achieve. One may do tremendous things if you realize the power of your thought. Thought is creative. Thought makes possible all things. Without thought, one would not exist. You could not be in any form of existence unless you've had the power to think. Because thought is the creative part of man. It is the power of thought that makes you what you are, makes possible what you can become. And if you write, then you are creating. Thought forces are emanating, and they are given a form of substance. And this substance makes possible the visible. I don't know. I sometimes think very few people in your world have the realization or consciousness of what all this is about. People think of themselves as a human being, physical, purely on a physical level. They have no realization of the power of the spirit and the power of thought, the creative power which makes all life a living reality. Well, I have spoken far, far longer than I had intended. But there are innumerable souls who stand behind me, who impress me often. At the same self moment of speech, conveying their thoughts interwoven and intermingled. You know, people do not realize that within a sense life is fluidic, that thoughts are fluidic, that nothing is really lost. Everything is there in the atmosphere. Your thoughts are very, very pungent and very strong and very powerful. And when you write and you put them onto paper, when they are printed and are read by innumerable peoples of all nations, there is a life-giving force there which is so tremendous. Nothing is wasted, nothing is lost. The only the insignificant and the things that have no real bearing and no importance fade into the distance and lose themselves.
I
wish one could make clear to the people of the earth the great potential that is within themselves. How they could overcome and achieve, and what they could do in consequence by faith and the realization of these truths of which we speak. Truly, you two girls are very blessed.
Oh, we do.
You are so blessed. Carry on that which you have been given to do. Know that you are surrounded by innumerable souls whose love is so strong and so powerful, who will enable you to overcome whatever vicissitudes life may bring. You will be given a strength. You have built within yourself a great reservoir of strength, which will at all times make possible for you the power to continue to serve and to serve well and to be loved by innumerable peoples on both sides. Truly you are blessed. I must now go. My sister joins me in giving you her blessing, and indeed all here.
Yes.
May peace be with you, my friends. Goodbye.
Good night, my dear.
I have to go, I'm sorry, a lot of people would have liked to spoken, but I wish you a very happy time.
Thank you.
And I'll see you when you come back.
Yes.
And tell Flint to have that telephone put out. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh dear, Mickey.